They're here, aren't they?
Mr. Mulder, they've been here for a long, long time.
The only way the ancient astronaut theory can be disproven is when the extraterrestrials show up.
A two-headed dog with six legs.
Mr. Mulder, why are those like yourself who believe in the existence of extraterrestrial life on this Earth not dissuaded by all the evidence to the contrary?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike from Basically a Sports Show and Basically a Geek Show. I'm bringing to you tonight Basically a Paranormal Show, episode 2, our second go at this. Our first episode was well received, so we figured we'd bring it back. I am joined with Jack from Basically a Geek Show and a special guest for Basically a Paranormal Show, Greg from Basically a Sports Show. That's a lot of basicallys and shows in there.
It sure is. Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I'm really excited to be here.
Indeed, and we're excited to have you, and we've got a lot to talk about. The first thing to come to mind, and this is going to be one of those cases where we're talking about a picture, but it's a podcast, so people can't really see it, but I suspect this will probably end up being the cover image. And it is an image taken from Mars that shows to be an indent in a rocky surface. And it appears to be a sort of wheel or a sort of,
It's an X-Men symbol.
Basically, yeah. And Greg, you're the one who, directed us to it. So just from what you've seen, just in general, what are your feelings on it? What do you think it is that, you know, just kind of broad strokes at first? What were your impressions?
Well, I saw it and my first thought was you'd be hard pressed to convince me that this was an accidental formation. The circle is perfect. Maybe it can be. I mean, nothing's impossible when it comes to this sort of thing, but it's a perfect circle. It's got an X-Men, like Jack said, it's an awful lot like an X-Men symbol. But the thing that struck me about it is I saw images of it where people had kind of enhanced the photo here and there. Mm-hmm. And it looks an awful lot like a valve to turn on and off water or some sort of other liquid. But This thing, it has absolutely no earthly, or I guess in this case, Martian reason for being here. It's a circle with an X in it. And it's, to me, I think that someone's got some splaining to do, as they say. It's just something to me that you kind of would be hard-pressed, again, to argue that this was a natural formation, and I'm curious to see what you guys think about it.
Well, from what I've seen, one of the first stories that popped up when I kind of looked into this myself was a story that said Mars photograph shows Celtic cross in rocks. And in a lot of ways, yeah, I could see a Celtic cross in it. I could also see a valve or a wheel. I mean, to me, it's like that rock we discussed in the first, basically, a paranormal show, the ancient Hebrew, you know, found in the middle of the New Mexico desert, where its nature is such that even if you're not a conspiracy theorist, even if you you consider yourself a healthy skeptic, you know, you see something like this, and it's something that so obviously doesn't belong that, you know, you kind of have to ask questions. And I hate that phrase because, you know, the really crazy 9/11 truthers and the, you know, was Obama born in Kenya people have sort of co-opted
He wasn't?
No, Jack, he's a Martian.
Fuck!
But, you know, it's like that whole side of things has co-opted the we are just asking questions and kind of ruined it for the rest of us well-meaning conspiracy theorists. Because, you know, when you see something like a rock with ancient Hebrew in the middle of the New Mexican desert, or you see something that is either a Celtic cross or a valve or a wheel on Mars, yeah, you gotta ask some questions, basic questions. And, from what I've seen, just kind of in general, I'm looking at the same enlarged photos it doesn't look anything that could occur naturally. I mean, I guess you could say, yeah, anything can happen in nature, and it's a minuscule chance, but there's a chance, but I'm not too sure about that, because I am 99.9% sure that right angles don't occur naturally.
Generally speaking, no, they do not.
And while this thing isn't a perfect circle, it's a little too close for comfort to just kind of chalk off to a natural geological formation. So, it's sort of one of those things where, you know, right angles, don't appear naturally. Circles don't really either.
Not circles this good anyway.
No.
The thing is with me, it's like, if you're going to say that this is a naturally occurring formation, to me, you are really digging deep. You at that point are simply denying the existence or the possibility of extraterrestrial life solely to be a jackass. Because to me, okay, this is the way I see it. The odds of this thing being a naturally occurring phenomenon on a planet is actually smaller than the chance of that planet being inhabited.
Mm-hmm. Indeed, indeed. And I'm going to take us off the reservation just for a moment, but it's all related. In terms of, I feel this needs to get out whenever we need to set this guideline up or establish this principle whenever we talk about the existence of extraterrestrial life. Whether or not you believe it's on Mars, whether or not you believe it's visited Earth in the past or in the present, all of that aside, let's lay down some real mathematics, yo.
Oh God, math. We're fucked.
You guys didn't tell me there was going to be math. Okay.
We're so fucked.
It's basic stuff. You know, there's what, 10,000, 10 million stars? I think it's around 10 million stars in our galaxy that have the potential to support life. Our galaxy's one of what, 300 million billion that we can observe?
Something like that.
And the universe is a big, you know, goddamn place. Point being that
the universe, it's a big goddamn place. Carl Sagan ain't got shit on us.
Hey, as Igala Brzgalov, NHL goalie, says, it is humongous big. The universe is humongous big. But if we're going to talk about aliens, let's set this down right now. Regardless of what you feel their relation has been to Earth, if there is even a connection, it is foolhardy, and I'd say just arrogant to assume that Earth is the only planet in the universe that has produced intelligent life.
Well, you would have to be the very height of just an egocentric asshole to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at exoplanets.org. I just did a quick search on exoplanets, and 1,499 is the planets with good orbits listed in the exoplanet orbit database. In other words, I'm assuming, again, I haven't read this entire site, but just based on what we've noticed looking for exoplanets, which I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, are planets that have a similar distance from their star that would be in the quote-unquote sweet spot where they could support life similar to that on Earth. Is that about right?
Yeah. And that number is only for, again, from what we can observe. It turns out that detecting planets is very tricky, mostly because, well, they're so small.
That's what she said.
but we can detect stars easily enough. We can detect stars across the Milky Way galaxy because they tend to be bright, and we can detect the wavelengths produced by the light of those stars. But a planet, when you think about it, can't really be detected all that well, and there are ways to do it, but as far as I know, even if the most advanced techniques and technology available to us, we're still really only able to detect planets that are within our immediate, you know, galactic neighborhood. So we haven't even been able to observe all the Milky Way galaxy and we're already at over 1,000 planets that could potentially support life. Multiply that by the rest of the Milky Way, multiply that by how many galaxies there are in the universe, and yeah, the idea that life exists, intelligent life exists elsewhere is not only possible, but, well, it's mathematically almost certain.
Absolutely, and something to think about. The only, when you get back to the aliens and that whole thing, really the only argument that you can come up with that is kind of certain is the travel issue mm-hmm. when it comes to interacting with us or being on Mars or whatever, because the distances are so great and we don't have warp drive yet. But other than that, I don't know how you could look at all this and really honestly believe in your heart that we're the only ones. Yeah. I would think that when it all comes down, if we had all the knowledge necessary to find out about all this, we would find out that not only are we not the only ones, but we are pretty insignificant in the grand scheme of things. We're just average in a bunch of different ways. Go ahead, Mike.
Now, Jack, yes. In terms of the whole warp drive thing, you were telling me a while back that there's actually an Australian physicist who was trying to build a warp drive.
Yes. I don't know if it's an Australian physicist I'm sure there's physicists involved, of course, but I'm saying, I don't know if it's one individual or a team. I believe it to be a team of scientists in Australia. The Aussies are working on manufacturing a warp drive. It's been a while since I've seen it or seen, you know, like the mock-up that they had of it, you know, like mm-hmm. the visual representation of said drive. But it actually looked very disappointing for any Trekkies out there, because this is actually, you know, the more realistic representation of what one would be. But it was like a football shape with a circle around it.
But the point is that there are...
Or ring or whatever you want to call it, but yes. But yeah, you know, we are working on it, and it stands to reason if we are working on it ourselves, and, you know, with this whole thing of intelligent life on other planets, I am not even sold that there's intelligent life on this fucking planet. So there's got to be some somewhere. I mean,
And if we're working on it, then it stands to reason that another species that has maybe had more time has been able to make one. But let's circle back to this. Now that we've established that, you know, the likelihood of life on other planets, now, you know, again, it is a much bigger leap to assume that they've visited us or our solar system. But, I mean, let's be honest, this isn't exactly the only piece of evidence or interesting structure that has appeared on a heavenly body within our solar system. I'm gonna send you a link to a website, and I'll be the first to admit.
This is more Mexican midget porn, so help me God, Mike.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if I could throw something in on the travel aspect and the distances and all that and the warp drive and everything, the argument I always use when they say it's a physical impossibility, and maybe it is, I don't know, but if you go back even 100 years ago in our history, you walked up to the guy on the street in Ohio or Kentucky or in Ontario and said, hey, look, in 100 years, we're going to have the technology where Greg can sit in a room in Ohio, Jack can be in a room in Kentucky, and Mike will be in a room in Ontario and Canada, and we're all going to hop on these little things called computers and talk to each other and do podcasts. They would have looked at you like you were absolutely insane.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back to, say, the Revolutionary War days, now granted, there were theoretical models, I'm sure, of trying to figure out flight, but had you told them we're going to be on the moon in less than 200 years from the day the Declaration of Independence was signed, they would have said, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
My point being that we don't know where we're going to be technologically in, say, 1,000 years. I mean, and if you look at the leap we've made in just 1,000 years in human history from what 1,000 years ago would have been, you know, the era that you think we should go back to, Mike, or close to it anyway, to today, look at that leap. So think about another 1,000 years, where would we be? So I'm not ready to write off that we can't cover these distances just yet.
And it's also worth mentioning that the more advanced a society or civilization gets, the quicker their next level of advancement arrives.
Right. It does get to a point of being exponential. And, you know, like I say, if we're doing it now with our crazy selves, imagine like a race that has the benefit of not having reality TV. How fast they could do it. I mean, we cannot be the only game in town. And so, yeah, I think it is a very likely possibility that not only is there extraterrestrial life out there, but they have, I don't know to say if they've been here or not. I personally think that they have been.
Oh, me too.
But, you know, that much, I will say that much is open to discussion and speculation. But if you're just going to come outright and say, well, extraterrestrial life does not exist. Why? Because you have fucking seen it. You know, there are these people out there that think, well, unless I can see it, feel it, touch it, it doesn't exist. To them, I say, well, your dog doesn't know that you exist when you leave the house.
I mean,
you know,
I mean, let's just think about this. As a species, we went from constructing a plane that could barely fly, and then less than 100 years after that, less than 75 years after that, really,
yeah,
we went to the moon.
Right. Go ahead.
So my point is that once you reach a certain level of technological proficiency, the leaps forward, you know, the gaps between the big leaps get shorter and smaller and smaller. And then so you figure if there's a race out there that has a 1,000-year head start on us, let's say, then if they haven't killed each other with, like, god bombs or something, then it's entirely plausible that they have the means to travel these great distances. And, you know, it's one of those things, of course, people say, well, then, like, why would they come all the way here and not say hi? To which I say, have you guys never seen Star Trek? Because Prime Directive.
Then maybe we're just not people... fucking interesting enough.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and another thing too, and Jack brought up dogs. And there's a point I want to make on that really quick. If you look, you will find instances where dogs have, and cats too for that matter, have this like weird ability to know when you're going to be coming home, and they'll sit by the door and wait for you. But that's another story entirely. But people say, well, why don't they stop and say hi? Well, if you think about a civilization that is 1 million years ahead of us, let's say, technologically, that's like telling me to walk over to the cockroach and explain to him who I am. Mm-hmm. The cockroach is going to be like, what the fuck? He's just going to run and hide? You know what I mean? It's just, it's not a matter of simply stopping by and saying hi. They may look at us as like trying to walk over and explain to the cockroach, we're going to go over and explain to the cockroach how we went to the moon in 1969. The cockroach is going to have no idea. And I think that's part of it too. There's a lot of different reasons, but I believe they've been here. And unless you subscribe to Carl Jung and the collective unconscious and that whole thing, there's a whole lot of people out there from very different walks of life and over the years that have seen essentially the same thing. Either Carl Jung was exactly right and we're all basing everything that we think on the same general pool of knowledge, or something's happening out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, here's another thought, another theory that I heard about. I think it never got much attention because it wasn't quite as interesting as some of the more out there ideas. You know, this isn't about, you know, aliens coming down and fucking Mayans, and all this other stuff. It was actually the theory that alien probes could be here right now and we would not even see them. Because even with our technology, you know, there is the field of nanorobotics, basically miniature robots that are cellular size. You mm-hmm. would not fucking see them.
Mm-hmm.
They could be inside you. I mean, they could fucking be here right now, and we just don't see them. And I know that sounds really, like, reaching, really grasping. But if you take into account the fact that we, again, even at our technological level, have these things, you know, in the rudimentary stages right now, again, you know, like Greg was saying, imagine what a race that's, you know, however millennia ahead of us, imagine what they could do with it. Perhaps that could even be the intelligent life for all we fucking know. I mean, we have this ingrained idea that intelligent life, when we meet it, is going to be humanoid in shape. It's going to be a carbon-based life form like ourselves. That may not even fucking be the case. I mean, we could pass by a planet or observe a planet from afar and see nothing but gas on that planet, but the gas itself could fucking be sentient for all we know.
That's a good point.
It's one of those things where when people discuss whether or not a potential planet has the capacity for life, for example, the habitual zones that people talk about when they talk about extrasolar planets, is it the right distance from a star?
Right.
I keep saying, well, that's kind of narrowing your view because you're basically assuming life as we understand it. It's entirely possible that life could exist in a way or made up by a cellular structure that is completely incompatible with how we understand life. So right. To say, oh, well, this planet is incapable of supporting life is to be, well, kind of close-minded in how you understand life. Now, granted, there is a practical side to that, which is if we're going to meet extraterrestrial intelligent life, it's really only good to us if, one, we can comprehend it as life, and, two, if we can communicate with it in some way.
And, three, if it doesn't wipe us the fuck out.
Well, yeah. But
you know, though, Mike, what you just brought up about that, even just taking our completely, you know, our own view of it, where we only look at it as life as we see it, there's still, looking at this website, I'm looking at 4,826 possible planets among the ones that we can just see, which when you think about that in the terms of the size of everything, it's like we're on a beach, we found a little shovel full of dirt, and that's what we're able to comprehend and look at out of the entire beach. And we found 4,826 possible planets just out of that little sample. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then you add in the dimension of places where life exists in a way that we're not familiar with, that we don't know. I just can't for the life of me think or imagine the stupidity of someone to sit back and go, yep, that's it. It's just us and nobody else. Mm-hmm. That just blows my mind. I don't understand it.
Well, there's another thing in the same vein as this valve on Mars. Right angles found, and I think you're the one who linked me to this, Jack. Right angles found on the surface of the moon.
Right.
And this is years ago, but it's very relevant to this discussion. Basically, indents on the lunar surface that look for the world like some sort of structure had been sitting there and then, you know, left. And then, of course, there's the indent left, and because the moon has little to no atmosphere, there wouldn't be wind and rain corroding the indent left. And this was particularly interesting, not just for the implications, but because similar markings have been found on Phobos and Deimos, which are the two moons of Mars.
Well, just really quick, there's talk among our own scientists that there may be life on Europa, which is, mm-hmm. you know, one of the four Galilean satellites in Jupiter. But, you know, go ahead. I just wanted to throw that in, that it's not that out there even for our own scientists here on Earth, mm-hmm. with our own closed-minded view of things. But yeah, and the moon, geez, you want to have some fun. Look at all the conspiracy theories about the moon, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in about Europa. Go ahead.
Well, kind of just in general when it comes to life, when it comes to this sort of question, let's consider programs like SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Basically, these giant banks of radio dishes, of satellites beaming information out into space in the hope that someone finds it and can decode it. One of the Voyager probes, I forget which Voyager it was, which is the Voyager that had the plaque on it that showed someone how to find Earth?
Oh, shit.
First one?
Yeah, no. I think, or was it, fuck me, I don't remember.
Was it on the first one that left the solar system? I don't remember. I'm better with the manned missions. I'm not so good with the unmanned stuff.
Let me see.
Voyager plaque. Let's see. Voyager plaque.
Or was it Voyager 5, maybe?
There was only two, I think, weren't there?
I thought there were. Maybe.
The Pioneer plaques. Okay, sorry. Pioneer 10 and Pioneer 11.
Okay.
So, Voyager had the golden record where they put like a bunch of music and audio information about Earth on. So Voyager had the record and then Pioneer 10 and 11 had the plaques.
Oh, like anybody's gonna be using turntables on another planet. Come on.
Yeah, what exactly are they gonna?
Of course, you could find the alien hipster that's just into vinyl and yeah. It would be fine.
I like it. Ironically, okay, the aliens are like, let's give it to Jeff. He's a fucking douche. You know?
But, point being that these, you know, SETI and NASA aren't exactly, you know, podunked operations run by, conspiracy theorists. These are major scientific organizations with government funding. That are going about these endeavors. And I'm sorry, you can make the jokes about how inefficient the United States government is all you want. The government's not gonna flush all that money down looking for aliens if there wasn't some amount, if there wasn't a chance that people thought that there'd be success.
I agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you want to make fun of the government all you want, but NASA in the 60s and 70s, I think that was it without, in my mind, as an entire human race, our finest moments were NASA and the space program. So
it makes me sad to see that NASA is basically being gutted at the moment. Yeah.
Oh, don't even get me started. That's a completely different show.
Yeah, no, that would be because I would be right there with you, dude. I would fucking be bitching about that shit for 3 goddamn hours.
easily. And I mean, I was shocked. It blew my mind when they did the Orion test thing a few months ago, or however long ago it was, because I thought the whole thing was over. I didn't even realize it was still taking place.
Mm-hmm. Well, I remember I went to space camp in the early 2000s. And
did you shove a telescope up your ass?
Well, over the course of space camp, some NASA people were telling us about how by 2010 we're going to have the next generation of space shuttle that was going to push the limits of where we could explore in the solar system. And
a hush filled the room.
And 2010, you know, came and went, and not only has the space shuttle been retired, but the next generation space shuttle project was shelved, and then the new capsule manned space program that was going to replace that was shelved. So now NASA has no manned space program. NASA is dependent on the Russian Soyuz ships to get into orbit, which is really sad because the Russian Soyuz, that is not ships, that's 1960s technology, and the Russians are still going. The Russians are still going with it.
Well, I think that the United States, we should be embarrassed by the fact that we've let our space program go the way it has, especially when you look at all the other things that we just pour good money after bad over for no reason whatsoever. And to let NASA just sit there and wither on the vine the way it has, it just disgusts me.
Yeah.
And I mean, like I said,
the Ad Council.
Jack would agree, I'm sure, but we could go on and on and on about NASA alone, but.
I'm going to say, since we're here and I'm having the itch, I am going to say my piece on the topic. As concisely as I can put it.
Okay.
And this is to our listeners in other countries. This is not me putting forth a case of American exceptionalism or anything like that. But I guess you could say it's kind of part of our culture in the U.S. You know, we grew up hearing our parents talking about the moon landing and the Apollo program and how awesome it was and how proud we as a nation were when we accomplished this, and how just, you know, awe-inspired the world was. You know, hey, you know, the Americans put a man on the moon. And, you know, Soviet's like, it's not so great. We have family on moon. We just not tell you. They've been living there for years. It's fine. But, you know, as an American, it's the most insulting goddamn thing that can be done, the current state of our space program. And now it's not even about national pride anymore. It's about an obligation to scientific advancement. It's about an obligation to the future of our race at this point. Because, and this isn't me going on some environmental spiel, but let's face it, we're not going to want to be here forever. And I can't even go into the link to, into the fucking list of technologies that we currently utilize on a daily basis that got their start as part of the fucking space program. The Amen. Manned space program. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, we've got these fucking yahoos up at the Capitol, both parties, Democrat, Republican, they're all a bunch of fucking shit sippers. And, you know, they, Obama with, you know, the acquiescence of the Congress have passed this budget, you know, removing the manned portion of the space program. As an American, it's goddamn insulting. Now, as you were saying, you know, we've got to hitch a ride with the Ruskies. The Chinese are going to have, they're claiming they're going to have, you know, a moon colony by 2020. Well, we'll see about that. But the thing is, at least they're throwing their hat in the fucking ring. We're sitting here with our fucking dicks in our hands. Whether the Chinese pull it off or not, it's not the point. The point is that they're fucking trying. We're not.
Exactly.
I wouldn't be too worried about the Chinese, like, just kind of in general, the Chinese have, people freak out when they say, oh, China is graduating all of these engineers from university, you know, from their universities. Someone actually went over to China to take a look at their engineering programs at the university level. If you graduate with a master's of engineering in, China, in terms of comparable knowledge, you're about on par with a mechanic in the United States.
Well, I'm not worried about the Chinese. I hope they actually do it. This is one of the occasions where I'm not going to be a nationalistic arse. I'm saying I want someone to do it. I would prefer us to do it, of course. But if they can do it, fucking more power to them. What bothers me isn't that China's doing it, it's that we're not.
Exactly. A point I was going to make would be, I don't know who the number one cell phone company is right now. Is it Apple? Is it Samsung? I don't know.
It's probably a toss-up between those two.
Yeah. Whatever the case may be, let's just assume for a second that it's Samsung and the Galaxy phone, right?
Okay.
They are, and again, for the sake of argument, let's say they're the most advanced phone. They're the ones that have gotten the technology down best. And then they just say one day, well, you know what? Screw it. We're done. That's it. We're going to walk away. Because that's exactly what we did with NASA.
I'm going to show you guys the future of space exploration. It's right here.
Oh, we Christ. If this is a Dalek picture, Mike.
No, it's not a Dalek picture.
We were, and again, and it's not American exceptionalism. It's nothing of the sort. It's just a simple fact. At the time, we were at the forefront of manned space exploration. We were setting the standard for everybody else to follow, and then we just one day decided, you know what, we're not going to do it anymore. And if a company did that, let's say Sony or Samsung or Apple just said, you know what, fuck it, here we are, we're the best at it, and guess what, we're not going to do it anymore, we would all look at that like they were insane.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what we did with NASA. We just said, you know what, that's it, we're not going to pay for it anymore. Forget, like Jack said, forget the entire manned space program. Look up a list of just the things that we use every day that began with the space shuttle program.
Mm-hmm.
Forget Apollo, forget Mercury, forget Gemini, forget all those. Just the space shuttle program alone. And it's absurd that, and I swear this is my last point I'm going to make on it. We waste, I don't even know how many untold billions of dollars on this ridiculous drug war that has done exactly nothing in all the years that we've been fighting it. We still pour money into it because you know why? We want to keep the soccer moms happy because we don't want them to be worried about cocaine or heroin or marijuana getting in the way of them taking their Xanax every day. So that's what we do. And in the drug war
also
tomorrow,
treadmills for shrimp.
And we could in the drug war tomorrow. I'm not even talking about, forget the Iraq war, forget Afghanistan, forget all of that. I'm just talking the stupid drug war. End it tomorrow. We could fund NASA with everything they need.
Hell, you could
how screwed up our priorities are in this country. Is that what we're worried about? And these are the things that we're letting slide.
You could end the drug war, and then you could fund NASA. You could give NASA every dollar they need, and then still have enough left over for one or two more proxy wars in the Middle East.
I'll tell you where we can start cutting the goddamn budget. Let's take out the coverage for penis pumps out of Medicare.
Right.
Let Grandpa jerk it like the rest of us do, and let's put a man on the fucking moon again.
Or
and Grandpa can get a boner off of that.
Your favorite target, Jack, the ad council.
Yeah, fuck the goddamn ad council. You know what? I drink milk every fucking day. I don't need some fucking cretin on TV saying milk does the body good. Well, you know what? My fist is going to do your goddamn face good, you fucking money-wasting dick players.
The ad council is something truly amazing because I am sure there is a Canadian equivalent. I'm positive
there
is.
Oh, I'm sure there is because, yeah.
If you put me on the spot, I couldn't remember anything that even comes close. You know, when I'm in the States and I'm watching TV and I see like a commercial, it's like, buy beef, brought to you by the ad council. It's like, really? People need to be like, beef and milk are those things that you really don't need to be advertised about. You just sort of buy them.
Dude, let me tell you something. Walking to any Walmart in this country, getting people to buy food, that message, we don't need to really be promoting that.
Yeah.
They don't need to be advertised to. They've figured it out, trust me.
But to steer it back to the aliens, why people probably clicked on this, again, like, look, if there is intelligent life out there, and if there is intelligent life out there that is actually interested in our little planet, then we as a species have so much to gain by trying to reach out to them. And we're not going to be able to do that just sitting on our ass. And it comes back to the space program. And I'm not even American, but look, the best chance for a funded, manned space program that really pushes the boundaries of what we as a species are capable of comes from the United States. I'm not convinced in China's ability to do much of anything, unfortunately, because that's just a house of cards waiting to tumble. But it's depressing to see that the United States has sort of given up this role in the world. I think it's one of those cases where the rest of the world really wouldn't mind it if the United States threw their weight around.
Yeah.
And there's so much that we as a species could gain by pushing the manned space program further and further. And if there are other species out there that we can learn something from, then that's all the better. But the benefits in and of themselves make it worthwhile. But these questions that, you know, that people just can't get out of their minds, we can answer them one way or another. We have the means to go about trying to uncover this stuff ourselves. We just don't want to, because we'd rather waste money on throwing some 16-year-old kid in juvie because he was carrying some marijuana.
Right. And just real quick on the U.S. space program, you know, Canada made a very significant contribution to the shuttle program.
The arm!
I mean, and I'm not saying that as a joke. That thing was, you know, vital to a lot of missions.
Right.
We have it on the back of our $5 bill, by the way.
Cool.
Hey, it's actually a step up. The old $5 bills on the back of it had like a picture of some kids playing hockey.
Yeah.
And then they redesigned everything for the plastic money. And now it's the shuttle arm, but it used to be hockey. And the hockey one, I think, was much more embarrassing. Just kind of cause you might as well just play into Zach's Canadian.
I would like to hear that thought process. You know, everyone knows that we play hockey. Not everyone knows that we made that fucking arm thing we did a while back. That thing was really fucking neat. Let's put that on the Fiverr. Hey, why the hell not, eh?
Well, if you didn't know, I mean, it only had Canada printed on it in big giant fucking letters.
We made this shit.
But back to the original point of the conversation with the circle, the whatever you want to call it on Mars. Do you guys have like a theory on what, you know, what it was, why it's there, or?
I've got two theories, and it's, the reason I have two theories is that I'm not entirely sure what it is. So I've got like one theory for each possibility in my mind. Look, I'm just going to throw out the idea that this was formed naturally because, as Jack said, the chances that there was even once a civilization on Mars, it doesn't even have to be there anymore, but even the chance that there was a civilization on Mars at some point is more likely than this thing being man-made. This thing being natural, being a natural formation. So I'm going off the assumption that this is constructed by intelligent life in some way. First thought is, and it goes along with what you said, Greg, that it's a valve of some sort. And what we're looking at is sort of like the very dilapidated remnants of some factory of some sort that existed in some previous Martian civilization. And that what we're seeing is just kind of like an uncovered portion of what are probably very, very, very old ruins. And this is probably one of like the few pieces that has survived intact on the surface. And that's what we're seeing, some valve of some sort in some industrial capacity. The second thing, and this is the ancient, this is where we cross into ancient astronaut territory. And we really should have the ancient astronaut guy as a guest.
I was going to say, I don't have enough hair to do that, to be that guy.
But, and it's kind of, it was kind of spurred on by people calling it a Celtic cross of some sort. In that maybe there's some, maybe this is the remnants of some primitive Martian civilization. Maybe this Martian civilization never really got to the industrial level. And this is the remnants of an altar of some sort. Those are my two theories of what it could be. I'm not, in no way though is this just a natural rock formation that just happens to look like this. The aliens are the more likely bet if you're gonna say that.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I can't imagine. And I guess my argument would be, if a circle with an X through it is possible as a natural formation, I'm not saying we should have seen a second circle with an X somewhere, but wouldn't you think we would see at least something that we could go, okay, we've seen it once before, so that probably means this is what it is again?
Mm-hmm.
I don't, and then maybe there is something out there, I don't know, but I have not heard of anything where we said, yep, circle with an X, natural formation, so. And if it happened on Earth, it would be a lot easier to prove that it's a natural thing as opposed to a something created by intelligent life. So I've got to go with it has to be something that shows somebody that was at least capable of drawing a circle and putting an X through it has been there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now when, how, or why, that's a completely different thing, but it's kind of, you're going to be have a hard time convincing me that it wasn't someone there that did that.
Jack, do you have any theories?
I'm not, okay, any theory or supposition as to what in fact this thing is, most of what I'm hearing floated around seems to be making the base assumption that again, we're going to be dealing with life, structured similarly to our own, i.e. a water valve or something like that. And I really don't think I can say anything for sure except the only theory I can really offer, because I'm not going to say a water valve or a handle or anything like that, because we don't know hypothetical Martian physiology. What's a practical, reliable design for humans may not have been for whatever form of life which may have existed on Mars at some point. What I'll say is, if you think about an X, you think about, you know, a circle, the next, whatever, if we're going to use the design of an X in a way that's not industrial, in a way that's not a functional design, it's something that we've always used to draw attention to something. A marker or a, you know, something along those lines. You see them on flags, you see them, you know, helicopter landing pads, etc. We've used them traditionally as a way to draw attention to something. And I think that this could possibly be something along those lines. Something like that perhaps. I've also heard a debunk theory that it was an imprint of a screw off of the lander.
Mm-hmm. That thing must have hit that ground pretty fucking hard.
Here's my problem with that. If you look at this picture, right, it's got rocks and shit beside it.
Yeah.
That give it, now we don't know, of course, what magnification this is.
That's going to be my next question. Yeah, but go ahead.
We don't know the scale of this, but at the same time, it would have to be you've got what appears to be a rock next to it and a couple of other rocks in the area. Your average rock, I don't know. To me, that just, because there are rocks around it and everything, magnification.
It seems too uneven to make it seems too uneven, I think, for any sort of lander to have, you know, for lack of a better term, stepped there.
And also, as you said, Mike, the circle itself, it's not exactly perfect. If you look at the left-hand side of it, it's got a little bit of a, wonkiness to it, a little bit kind of lopsided. It's not like if you first look at it, you're going to see it as a perfect circle. But if you stare at it and you look at it, that left-hand bit of it looks a bit off. So if it's a screw, then it's a fucked-up screw.
Mm-hmm.
And something that should not be on a fucking Netflix, given their budget. Who knows? Maybe they had to go down to Home Depot the last moment. But
they had to buy irregular legs for the lander.
Right, exactly.
They were cheaper.
Hey, Harv, you still got that screw from that VCR you took apart in the office? Yeah. Get the fucker over here. We need it.
We need screws.
Yeah.
I want to go back and talk about something that you guys have been bringing up about the life thing. And how that what's practical for us may not be practical for other life forms. But this is just a question I have, and I'd like to get what you guys think about this. Taking like the exoplanet thing, what we consider to be a place that's capable of supporting life, et cetera, into account, why wouldn't it evolve essentially the same way we did? Just from a scientific standpoint. I mean, we have to take into account too the asteroid coming along destroying the dinosaurs and all that, but I'm saying is why wouldn't it, I guess? Why do we always assume that it would always be so completely different from us? When I always think that under the same conditions, most things are probably going to develop essentially the same way.
I think we have to, quantify what we mean when we talk about, similar to us in terms of, a race evolved from primates, for example. I don't think necessarily, because at the end of the day, it's really just, if you look at the way that life evolved on Earth, so many things had to happen in a certain way for us to end up how we are, that I think that those exact factors playing out on another planet is unlikely, but the idea that the same conditions that gave rise to us, say a nitrogen-oxygen atmosphere, being a certain distance away from the planet's star so that it's not too hot but not too cold, you know, it's just right, it's the Goldilocks zone, that life would eventually be bipedal, all of those are fair assumptions. I just don't think that, you know, we're talking humanoid, but definitely I'd say life as we understand it to be an intelligent carbon-based life form.
Right. And here's my thing with that. Just because this is where you got to factor in the next aspect of what potential life would be when we encounter. And here's where Jack goes off on the weird end of shit.
Okay.
But then again, this is me we're talking about, so what would you expect?
Basically, a podcast network does not endorse the views expressed by Jack.
Well, see, it starts with the Jewish-controlled space Illuminati. And
yeah, I was going to say, back up a second here. I'm part of the podcast network. I want to hear what he has to say before I decide if we endorse it or not.
Exactly. So, yeah.
We may endorse it like 25%, 50%, who knows?
So here's my take on this. We're leaving one factor out. We're only thinking about natural evolution. And we've all agreed that if we meet extraterrestrial life in terms of them coming to us, or if we meet them out in space, they will have at least evolved as much as we have, probably more, because there seems to be this underlying thought that we're most likely the new kids on the block. Assuming that to be the structure, the foundation of the thought from which this springs, we're not including the technological aspect of evolution.
Okay.
I've always had this theory that the evolution of sentient life will ultimately, by the time all is said and done, when the universe collapses in on itself, whenever the fuck that happens, will have followed three major stages. You have basically out of the primordial ooze, apes, sentient life, where we're at now. The second stage will probably, I'm going to get weird here, be synthetic. Human consciousness put in a synthetic body, something along those lines. The third stage
Cylons
will be...
Cylons were created by man. They have a plan.
Yeah, basically, right. The third stage will be once that point, this group of synthetic humans, whatever the fuck you want to call them, say, hey, there's something better than this. We've covered the mortality issue, the sickness issue. we have nothing but time on our hands and infinite computing capacity. Let's go to the next stage, and that's going to be energy. Pure, basically, energy. That being said, you know, we may not even find life on a quote-unquote habitable planet. It may not need what we perceive to be habitable. I mean, granted, I don't blame them for starting to look there first. It's as good of a start as any, because right now we just want to find life, period. We don't give a fuck if it's intelligent or not. We just want to find life. And the best place to do that, of course, would be a planet like our own. But intelligent life could be anywhere, depending on where they're at technologically.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sounds perfectly reasonable to me.
Mm-hmm.
So see, I'm going to say that 25% of the Basically a Podcast Network, I guess 50% because Jack endorses it too, endorse his ideas on this. So there you have it.
It's definitely interesting. An idea that I've heard floated out is that a lot of, and I believe it was Titan, I believe it was the moon Titan that kind of spurred on this discussion that I had had with other people a few years back. But it was a show about looking for life on the Saturn moon of Titan. And they mentioned that Titan has oceans of liquid methane.
Really? Liquid meth. I mean, what?
And you know, they were going into
and with that, like 15 minivans all loaded up and headed, like, how do we get to Titan from here?
Walter White's got this shit, yo!
Walter Wright's already, you know, the Lord Emperor of...
It's like RVs and everything headed trying to figure out how to get the fucking Titan from here.
But, you know, the show kind of went into, you know, the ideas of, well, hypothetically, what would life look like if it were to evolve in this environment, and yada yada. And someone I was watching the show with said, well, think about it. Liquid methane is actually, it's not very corrosive as a substance. If you think about the majority of the substances, of the elements that are found on bodies out there in space, moons, planets, what have you, water, which is one of the essential building blocks to life as we understand it, is actually very corrosive.
Right. It's the third most corrosive substance known to man.
I mean,
and we fucking
water,
drink it. Made out of
I
it.
I mean, yeah. If you think about it, you know, water destroys mountains, carves valleys into land. And, you know, it's one of the most corrosive substances that we know in the universe, and we drink it, you know, to refresh ourselves. So the idea that this show kind of spurred on, the discussion this show kind of spurred on was, what if we meet intelligent, you know, life out there, and it turns out we're the toughest mofos in the universe because they've all evolved on these planets with, like, liquid methane, and they're like, and water is like acid to them, and we sweat it and we drink it, and, you know, we consider it, you know, generally a good thing if it falls from the sky.
Like, I can just see it now.
The thing is, like,
aliens that come to visit here and they go back to their home planet, like, these are some seriously tough motherfuckers. They drink acid.
And
like,
it's,
every
it's
day.
Like, it's like that planet is like hell. It is hell because it rains acid.
Right.
It rains acid. They run around in it. They swim in it. They drink it.
Our bodily fluids even are composed mostly of water. We could jizz on these fuckers and like turn them into fucking Phantom of the Opera. Which makes a money shot very problematic. I'm just saying.
But, you know, it's this hilarious concept. You know, people are, you know, the general idea of aliens is, you know, we're going to meet them and they're going to be more advanced than us, or, you know, there's the alien invasion genre in science fiction.
Oh my God.
But, you know, maybe we're the toughest mofos in the universe. Maybe we're not the smartest. Maybe they've developed space flight before us, but maybe once they come, maybe
oh
the
God.
Reason why they haven't, you know, said hi to us.
Shyamalan had it right.
Fucking signs.
Oh my God.
Like Mike said, they're terrified of us. So like, Jesus, we don't know what to do with these people.
I really wish I could remember the title of the book. It's some science fiction story that had this concept where basically there's this scouting team from an alien civilization. They've mastered interstellar travel and they send a scouting team to Earth and like one of their strongest warriors is shoved aside by this old lady. in terms of everything, we're just like physically superior to them, and it's just it's hilarious. It goes back to that Futurama episode where there's the robot planet, where like the aliens might be terrified of us because it's like our strongest magnetic beams do nothing to them.
Did you guys have you guys ever read the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy trilogy?
Yes,
I have not.
Do you remember there? I forget which one it was in, but he talks about like the largest armada ever assembled went to attack Earth, and when it got here, it was swallowed by a dog because size is relative. Yes.
I remember the part. I don't remember which book it was in, but I remember the part that you're talking about because that was fucking hilarious, and that got me thinking about like this alien conquest fleet against my cat.
Right.
And the elite defender of the universe.
Yeah.
The largest, like, you know, armada ever assembled in the history of the universe, as all these people in that universe know it, show up and it got eaten by a dog.
Yeah.
I just thought that was hysterical. But,
and the thing is, thinking that really has to apply to these kind of discussions, because we don't know. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, Mike, you're talking about this book or whatever that you read and the alternate types of life and blah, blah, blah. It was relatively recent. It's been like within the last couple of years that I've seen it, but they had kind of like a on-screen adaptation of something very similar where a bunch of, you know, like xenobiologists, which I can only imagine to be a very boring field to be in these days, what with the little work to do, got together and, you know, they talked about what we're talking about. If we find life, what the fuck is it going to look like? And they had like, they presented these different scenarios in which, you know, say this planet was like this or like that and what would evolve there. And one of them was like a very low gravity planet with a very dense atmosphere of, I think it may have been methane or hydrogen or something like that. But like in this planet, it was so fucking trippy. They had like flying fucking whales. Cool. Basically, it was like giant fucking manta ray whale type fucking things. And it was just trippy as fuck to see. And I wasn't even on any hallucinogens. but it was like, you know, you sit there and you watch that. And at first your thought is, oh my God, how much have I fucking drank? And you eventually become convinced this is not like the byproduct of, you know, a Mel Gibson coke binge. And it starts to make sense. You're like, yeah, you know, we're thinking about this from so much of a Earth-specific view, a human-specific view, that we really, and it's not, one could say that the viewpoint that we have about this is arrogant, but it's really not at this point. It's just ignorant. We haven't really stopped to think that
hard. That's all we know.
Right, exactly.
We base everything on our own experience.
Exactly.
It's the only way we can look at it is through our own experience. We can't picture it from the giant flying manta whale thing because we don't have any idea, but I don't know. The whole thing is, again, to go back to the original point, to think that we're alone is just absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
Just absurd in my mind.
Well, I'm just kind of looking over something that you linked, Greg, which is the wow signal.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And they've never found a repeat of that, at least that they've talked about.
That's the unfortunate part of it. Yeah.
Which, you know, a lot of people have used to try to debunk it and say, well, it was, you know, the fact that it never repeated is just that it was, you know, a one-off thing and it was nothing. You know, we don't know what it was, but it's nothing to be interested in, which just seems really what the fuck to me. I believe they also said that a quasar could have been a possible source for the wow signal. We should explain what that is for anyone who doesn't know, though. Sorry.
Oh, it was a signal that, was it a SETI group? I don't even remember.
Yes, I believe it was SETI.
Yes.
Anyway, there was a signal that they called it the wow signal because it showed up and it looked like it could have been of intelligent origin or something along those lines.
Discovered, by the way, at Greg, the Ohio State.
Oh, I knew that. I was just going to leave that out, but I didn't want to point to that, it only happened one time, so obviously for you to really, kind of like in the movie Contact, for you to really go, okay, this is a thing, it has to happen continuously or more than once.
Wow, what a boring movie that was, just saying.
Mm-hmm.
It had potential, but it really kind of just went right off the rails, I thought. But it was okay, I guess.
Indeed. So, guys, I think we got more mileage out of that than I thought we would, honestly. Do you guys want to talk about the Voynich manuscript, or do you want to just call it at this?
If Greg has time, we can talk about the manuscript.
Yeah, let's talk about that just a little. That kind of fits into what we're talking about, doesn't it?
Yeah, to a degree. Well, it's one of the theories about it. Quick background on the Voynich manuscript for those who don't know. It is a manuscript. Now, we're going to get into some weird stuff about it, so I just want to say any accusations that this is a hoax have kind of more or less been debunked, because this manuscript has been dated to the Middle Ages. Between the years that they've dated it to are between 1404 to 1438, meaning that if this is a hoax, it is a really old hoax.
Pretty elaborate one, too, from what little I've gathered from it.
And so let's just kind of get into what it is. It is a manuscript between 220 to 240 pages, depending on how you qualify pages, because it's kind of put together wonky. But it is a manuscript of written in a language that, so far, people have not been able to crack. The code breakers who broke the Nazi encryption codes in World War II tried to have a go at it, and they couldn't do it. So it's written in this really weird language. There are illustrations on many of the pages. A portion of the manuscript seems dedicated to botany, if only because the illustrations seem to show plants. The intriguing thing on that front is that a lot of the plants shown are at best you can call them nondescript. A more extreme interpretation is that none of these plants actually – well, some of them do, but a lot of these plants don't actually look like plants found on the planet Earth.
You know, one thing I want to point out about this, and again, just to play devil's advocate for a second, I am assuming that if you could – any kind of credibility you could give to it being a hoax is the fact that everything is – it appears – now, again, I don't know because I – you know, we don't know what the hell it says. But it's written left to right, or so it seems anyway, with a definite word structure that, you know, left to right, you know, one line following the next underneath and all that. So I guess there's that. But other than that, it's just wow. It's something to – it's screwy.
Jack, I know that this isn't something you've only had a couple of days to look this over, but just in general, what are your feelings on this?
I'm going to start kind of like how Greg did, and I'm going to take a moment and put out there a really outlandish possibility for it being a hoax.
Okay.
Because, Mike, you and I have both known people who like to sit around and make up languages for fun.
Oh, yes, we do.
and we're not even going to get started on that. But maybe it wasn't done for the sake of being a hoax. Maybe it was like a medieval nerd.
Basically a thought experiment?
Right. Like, maybe it's like this really... the medieval equivalent of like a fucking concept album. And they fucking created this language and wrote like this entire history of this fictitious world in this fucking made up language and, you know, made plant life and, you know, like outlined the flora and fauna of this made up world in this made up language.
So basically the medieval J.R.R. Tolkien made up his own language and wrote like, yeah, okay.
I mean, that's the only thing that I could really say about, because, I mean, okay, if you're going to make a hoax, the conventional way of doing it, then, I mean, you're going to write it. What good is trolling someone if no one can understand what the fuck you're doing? You want them to be able to read them, like, oh, my God, you know, you would go with some kind of crazy Hollow Earth shit or something, you know, for that to show all this odd fucking flora or fauna, or some, you know, lost island, some crazy fucking Jules Verne shit, basically. And this doesn't seem to be that. This seems to be, I don't know, that's the only, like, when you brought this to me, Mike, and you're like, yeah, I want to talk about this, that was my first thought. I was like, well, we know so little about what the fuck it actually says. Mm-hmm. What can we say about it? I do agree that it needs to be something that we talk about, though, because, you know, I've heard about it only once, and it wasn't that long ago that I heard about it. And it's one of those things that, you know, I think more people should find out about, because it's just such like this oddball kind of a thing that stands out. I mean, all these other things that set our imaginations ablaze with these possibilities of things we don't understand. And yet there's this one thing that just kind of sits off there, and it's one of the weirdest, most fascinating of all. Because no one, I mean, we're talking the greatest generation, you know, sat there, looked at this, you're like, we got no fucking clue, dude. Fuck this. War's over. Let's go home.
I'm looking at pages and pictures of it, and it doesn't even, maybe you guys can. I look at it and I go, I just don't know what the hell they're trying to say with this. I mean, you can't even really venture a reasonably educated guess as to what the hell it means. But I did, again, on the hoax side of things, I did notice that a lot of the same symbols are used an awful lot. So it was either let me get back to the pages here, but it was either like kind of a rudimentary language that didn't have a whole lot, I don't know.
Devil's advocate to that though, I mean, try to assume, it's going to be very difficult because we're all native English speakers, but try to look at English text if you had no knowledge of English.
That's
true.
The
letter E is going to appear quite a lot.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's so interesting, yet the lack of concrete information about it is just so, it is in a way that there's really not much that you can really say based off just the document itself. I'm going to throw out an outlandish theory, and I just want to say, I don't even necessarily prescribe to this. I'm saying it's a possibility given what we're looking at. So I'm just going to throw it out there.
Okay.
And this is, again, very much in the vein of the ancient astronaut people.
The Jewish-controlled space Illuminati.
No. God damn it, Jack. I told you to stop trying to hack into our email accounts.
Well, when you set your password to 1234, what do you fucking expect, okay?
But basically, I look at this, and people who have studied it have said that, at least structurally, in terms of where the script is on the page, where the illustrations are, that the structure of the book in a lot of ways seems to mimic that of a biological journal or a biological textbook from the era.
Right.
Where, you know, if someone would go out, you know, to record the biology of a certain ecosystem, and they'd put it down in a book, and the face value of this thing, it very much matches that. But of course, we've got the language that we don't understand, and in a lot of cases, pictures of plants and animals that, as far as we know, don't exist on this planet. So my crazy out there theory, batshit theory, is that you had some scientist from the medieval world, from the Renaissance era, got taken up in a spaceship, went to some weird planet, learned some alien language, and basically recorded what he saw, and this is the record of that.
Honestly, looking at this thing, that makes as much sense as anything else does.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, that's as good of a theory as any on this thing.
I mean, Right. Again, not even saying I necessarily believe it. I'm just saying it's a possibility that came to mind when I'm trying to figure out what this thing is. Because there are pictures. What's it? Another interesting thing is there are pictures of, nymphs point on it. And nymphs are things that, you know, exist in European folklore. But it's one of those things. But it's one of those things where if you had, you know, there are manuscripts written, you know, throughout Europe that have nymphs and other mystical creatures, but they're written in English or French or German or Dutch or what have you. It's so fascinating because in so many ways this looks like it could just be any number of a medieval European manuscript, yet it's the language and it's the illustrations in some cases that just throw you through a loop, and you have to wonder, what the hell could this possibly be? And again, I put that weird theory out there, and like you guys said, it's as good as anything else, because unless someone figures out how to crack this language, if it is indeed a language, then until that happens, it's all just pure speculation.
I've got a theory. I'm going to take your theory and go a step further with it.
Okay.
You think that it might have been someone from Earth taken somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
How about this for a theory? This is someone that is from somewhere else that is here that wrote down their, again, the plant life would be the tricky part of this, but maybe this is their little journal they kept while they were here.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the result was. But again, but the plant was the problem. Maybe it was a journal written from someone from somewhere else, by someone from somewhere else, that described where they came from. And it was just basically left here to say, okay, they'll find this. They will decipher the code and, you know, make the assumption like we would, say, like we did when we sent out the plaque or the record or whatever on mm-hmm. Voyager and Pioneer, where eventually we'll figure it out and go, oh, yeah, okay. I mean, maybe that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was left here on purpose and we just haven't reached a point where we either it was too complicated for us to figure out or it just wasn't done in a way that had the right structure for us to figure it out. I mean, that's the way I would look at it.
Now, I know you said that the Enigma breakers took a look at this shit and tried to mm-hmm. figure it out. Recently, have we ran it through any kind of algorithm or anything like that?
As far as I know, it has not, no. That there hasn't been really an effort to decipher this using modern techniques and technologies.
Well, there's our fucking problem.
Well, you know, it comes
part
down...
part of it, at least.
I mean, again, you could kind of tie that almost into the whole NASA discussion, where it's like, as a species, we have so much at our disposal, and then we just don't use it because... reasons.
Right. I've got to ask you guys a really stupid question here.
Okay.
When you look at this, do you start like looking at it and going, I think, you know, does it start becoming English to you at all when you look at it? Like where it, I don't know if it's just because, you know, of the way we read and we just, you know, your brain puts things where they think it's supposed to be and all that, but
it does. I definitely see what you're getting at on
that. Yeah. I mean, I can't describe it as well as I'd like to, but I look at it and I kind of go, I think I kind of understand this a little bit, but, you know, maybe it's just, like I said, my brain puts things in the order it thinks it's supposed to be in.
It's weird because you look at it, and if you look at it long enough, you start to say, oh, well, that looks like somewhat elaborate medieval English. But then when you kind of focus on it and then try to decipher it, then you realize that right. there aren't actually letters there. But it does seem to have a Anglo-Germanic base as a language, at least, which I guess would serve to emphasize Jack's theory that maybe this was just like some nerd in the Middle Ages who kind of constructed his own language for fun.
Or and, it could be the precise reason why the alien guy wrote it this way, thinking, well, this is as close as I can get to what they do, so I'll do it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely fascinating.
I mean, I look at some of these pictures and I'm just thinking, what the hell is he getting? Or he or she. I mean, we're assuming it's a man that wrote it, but what are they trying to get at here? I didn't like the, it says page 78 if you go to the Wikipedia page and it's got the, oh, I don't even know how to describe it, but it seems like it's a womb filled with nymphs.
Yeah.
and I just look at it, I'm going, okay, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And, but it might just be some guy that's like, you know, still laughing 600 years later, however long it's been, like, man, I really fucked these guys off. Look at this.
Yeah. I mean, okay, the language seems to follow, it seems to follow a format similar to English. I mean, you see
right.
capitalization, you see what appears to be a sentence structure, even paragraph structure.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, whatever language it is, it has a format similar to English in terms of, you know, grammatical structure, in that regard at least, but do what?
I was just going to say, on page 66 on the Wikipedia page, is that like a little primer on the side there? Do you see what I'm talking about? It's like he has a word written with a symbol next to it, or she. I should probably quit making the assumption that it's a man that wrote this. But...
misogyny!
Of course, if it was a woman, she clearly, you know, was into chicks for sure. But...
I see what you mean on that, Greg.
But then again, if it is like a kind of a key or a guide or whatever, why would you write a word and then put the symbol? Should it be the other way? I don't know.
Unless it's fascinating. A glossary of terms, maybe?
Well, that could be.
Oh, but now, another interesting thing about all of this. And I just forgot what I was going to say, damn. But I don't know. It's fascinating because there's so little to go on, yet there's just enough to make it impossible to turn away from.
It really is intriguing because there are so many different things it could be.
But
from just a, like you guys said, just a hoax, a guy, maybe he went out in the field and ate mushrooms and this is what he came up with. You know, it could be that, or it could be all the way up to my idea that an alien came here and dropped this off and said, here, this is what you're looking for. And this is the best way to communicate this to you back in 1400 or whenever it was. This is the only way I know how to do it. So here you go. I don't know.
Now, an idea that I had, Jack, maybe the key to, maybe if we assume this is a constructed language from some, you know, medieval nerd who was like, I'm going to create my own language. Maybe we need to fight fire with fire, Jack. Maybe we need to show this to Peter.
I would say Charles, actually, but yeah. Let's get our top men on this.
I'm assuming Peter and Charles are guys that sit around and write languages.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, it's worth a shot.
I mean, it might pry Peter away from XCOM for, you know. But it's just sort of, yeah, that they, I know at least Charles is a linguist. I know Peter's a programmer and he has a keen interest in it, but in terms of linguistics and in terms of constructed languages, they'd be who I'd go to first and foremost to be like, guys, does this look like something you two would invent in a fever dream?
You guys laugh now, but you're going to show it to them. They're going to go, oh, hell, I can read this to you. It's no problem.
Oh, yeah. That,
well,
that,
probably
it's
not.
It's approximately it really 200 pages of dick jokes. See right here. This says your mother gives great head. Oh, damn it. Well, there goes 200 years to waste.
It does, though. It looks so much like a journal. I'll tell you what it reminds me of. If you want to talk in terms of movies, it reminds me of the journal that, what's his name, Captain Dances with Wolves. Where he would like,
what's his name?
Kevin Costner. I can't remember his character's name. But he would write down what he experienced that day and put a little picture beside it. That's what this kind of reminds me of.
Another thing now that they bring up movies is, Sean Connery's journal from, Indiana Jones Last Crusade. His, journal on tracking the Holy Grail where he had that, and it was full of like Latin text next to pictures of like church windows. Definitely getting that vibe from, but yeah, it does have a very journalistic quality. Like the person is describing what he's seeing and then drawing it. And it's interesting because we've talked about it, that it seems to have a very English sentence structure. But just from what I've seen, it seems as if there are aspects of it that seem to follow the Asian, language family in terms of style.
Okay.
So I don't know. Maybe it's something weird that Marco Polo brought back from the Orient. I don't know. Can I say Orient, or is that not PC these days? I don't know. But it does seem interesting. At this point, I'm just gonna start repeating myself because I've kind of exhausted everything that I have on it. It's odd, and it's intriguing enough to drive you crazy because you just kind of want to figure out what it is.
Well, I'm on the actual website for it here, and there are a couple places where they say, okay, this is an astrological page, and I can't get the page to – I can't magnify it to get a better look at it, but it does appear that they may have figured out a couple things. Oh, pharmaceutical illustration. Now I'm interested.
We need to get, you know, super lawyer because he does pharmaceutical injuries.
Yeah.
But yeah, it really is fascinating and it could be any number of things and it's cool. I just can't understand. I guess people have made the effort. Has anybody made the effort since the World War II guys to try to figure this thing out?
I don't think so.
Evidently in 2003, a computer scientist by the name of Gordon Rugg, he said, let's see, It could have been produced basically by a table of word prefixes, stems, and suffixes. This is basically straight off of Wikipedia, which would have been selected and combined by means of a perforated paper overlay, whatever the fuck that means. The later device known as a Carden grill was invented around 1550 as an encryption tool, more than 100 years after the estimated creation of the Voynich manuscript. Sen maintained that the similarity between the pseudo-text generated in Gordon Rugg's experiments and the Voynich manuscript is only superficial, and the grill method could be used to emulate any language to a certain degree. Let's see, in April 2007, a study by Austrian researcher Andreas Schenner, published in Cryptologia, supported the hoax hypothesis. Schenner showed the statistical properties of the manuscript's text were indeed more consistent with meaningless gibberish produced using a quasi-stochastic method, such as one described by Rugg, than with Latin and medieval German texts.
So very well could be a guy just ate mushrooms and wrote.
Shh.
Okay.
Crazy shit.
I say we do what Jack, what you suggested and just run it through a program. You know what? What's the BCS computer doing these days? Nothing. That's what. Let's feed this into it. See what happens.
There you go. I wanted to, the New Mexico thing that you guys talked about the last show.
Yeah, the Ten Commandments.
Right. Right. Which we came to find out that means that Mike and I are probably actually related from like thousands and thousands of years ago. But, I never really looked into what the final determination of that was. Have got good arguments on either side of it, or what's the story with that thing?
Well, the thing about it is that it's been dated and the carvings have been dated, and it's been dated in such a way that it's not recent.
Okay.
It's not recent. It's, between 500 to, I think, 2000 years old. But the interesting thing about it is that the biggest quote unquote attempt at debunking it didn't really debunk it. The big argument I've heard against it was that, wow, this is really interesting, but we can't jump to conclusions because we haven't found anything else. Basically, the guy who tried to downplay it said that if there was an ancient Jewish settlement in this area, we would have found other structures such as the remnants of farms, temples, housing, and what have you. And to the state, no one has found anything like that. So therefore, you can't really say that any such civilization existed. And my response to that is, no, we don't have anything else, but we have this, and this is a pretty big deal.
Right. I don't know. I just, maybe somebody just dropped it off and left it there. You know, passing through.
So unfortunately, to answer your question, Greg, there really hasn't been anything definitive, but we do know that it wasn't from anywhere else. It was carved on native rock, and it was carved in native rock a long time ago to the point that it wouldn't have been a hoax. So all we know is that this thing exists, and how it got there, who brought it there, how they brought it there, we don't know anything one way or the other.
Okay, I was just curious.
But it is interesting because if true – maybe the Mormons were right, and that's a scary thought to go down. That's a scary tunnel to go down, you know?
Yeah, a little bit.
Indeed.
But with that, I think that pretty much wraps up episode 2 of Basically a Paranormal Show. I really do hope to make this, I don't want to say regular, but there's going to be more than just these two. Jack, I think we're just going to end up doing it whenever the mood strikes us.
Basically whenever the mood strikes us, hopefully once a month, if the stars all align properly and we can, you know, find interesting shit to talk about. But yeah, you know, I have in mind about a once a month time frame for these.
Indeed. And, Greg, thanks for, hopping on.
My pleasure. It was fun.
And, Or should something come up that, you know, should we come up with another topic that, you know, you'd have an interest in discussing, you are welcome on at any time in the future.
Great. I'd love to come back.
And awesome to hear. But that'll do it for basically a paranormal show dose. You can catch us on all of our platforms, you know, Stitcher, Spreaker, YouTube, iTunes, all that good stuff.
Your mom's bedroom.
For Craig and Jack, this is Mike, signing off.
Night, everybody.
See ya.